We have new listeners on Maryland's Eastern Shore via WESM, which is now broadcasting our show each day it airs. So I take this moment to welcome our new listeners. Glad you're with us. And now on to the news of the week. Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rawlings-Blake fired Police Commissioner Anthony Batts on Wednesday. Commissioner Batts had been under fire since the April riots and the surge in violent crime that followed. The mayor named Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis, a veteran of the Prince George's County Police Department, who most recently served briefly as police chief in Anne Arundel County. He joined the Baltimore Police Department in January as deputy commissioner. We spoke with him last month as violent crime surged in the city.
Certainly the riots have introduced a new dynamic that we're in the middle of and we're dealing with, but we're going to get back on track and continue to head in the new direction, but it's going to be a new normal.
What do you mean by new normal?
The way we have to interact with our community. We have to treat people with respect at all times. And it's a challenging profession, law enforcement, and there's only about 900,000 cops in America of, 300 million plus people. So us 900,000 cops have got to interact with people and afford them the same level of respect that we would afford our family members. And that goes to just daily interactions with folks.
Rebuilding community relations will be one of Interim Commissioner Davis's most important tasks. With me now in the studio to talk about how that can be done is a community leader in Baltimore. Pastor Heber Brown III of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church led protests of police actions in the wake of the death of Freddie Gray. He joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Were you surprised that Commissioner Batts was fired?
Well, certainly, I think many of us saw the pressure mounting for something to be done. I can't say I was surprised. It tends to be the actions that City Hall takes and a part of the political process. I think anybody who gets involved in politics, whether police department or inside City Hall, they recognize that those types of swift transitions are part of the package.
Well, let me ask this. Was it a good idea that Batts was fired?
Well, I think it makes me wonder who was advising the mayor because... it just doesn't seem like there's a full plan that has been laid out, even with the transition in the position. I think that a change in personnel is one thing. A plan and a vision for a way forward is something totally different. And I think that's where our focus and attention should be.
So you think a plan is missing?
A plan is missing coming out of City Hall. And really, I'm not even sure City Hall at this particular time can produce the comprehensive plan that's needed. I think it's going to bubble up from local communities rather than come out of City Hall. And so a number of groups and organizations all over the city right now are engaged in some wonderful things that I'm excited about.
And I want to talk to you about that, but yeah. It's interesting to me. You're sort of setting up their City Hall and there's the community. How important is the commissioner in what you see as the way forward?
Well, I think that the commissioner has a role to play, but in this environment where there's... great suspicion regarding the police department and obviously credibility issues, the community is not going to place, I don't think, a whole lot of energy or trust in that agency at this particular time. I mean, to the interim commissioner's own admission, they have a lot of work to do. And so in this particular moment, I just don't see people being so excited about a commissioner, no matter who it would be. It's going to be more about what local communities are going to be doing themselves rather than who's the new guy in the chair. And really, we don't even know this interim commissioner. So I'm thankful for his comments from earlier this year and hoping that he introduces himself to all communities of the city and begins the culture shift that he said he's trying to bring about.
Yeah, let me play another point interim Police Commissioner Kevin Davis told us last month when he was deputy commissioner, a point about how hard it might be to rebuild the relationship with the community.
This goes back way, way before Freddie Gray. It goes back decades. And in fact, Baltimore has always been challenged by its ability to get witnesses to violent crimes to come forward. And it goes back to the whole
Stop Snitching
campaign. So, and these aren't my words, and I borrowed these from a pastor. He said that the community will only trust its police department when the community knows its police department respects them. So there's been a gap in that level of respect between police officers in Baltimore and certain parts of the community in Baltimore for a long, long time.
So I want to ask you, I want to follow up on what you said about it's going to come from the community, but let me ask you first, what do you see the police need to do on their side? Or is there anything they can do?
Yes, I think there's some things they can do. I think they need to continue to be honest about the deficiencies in policing and regarding policing and the gaps in their own system, being honest and upfront about that. As much as people talk about, for instance, he referenced the stop snitching kind of policy, the police have their own stop snitching policies. I mean, and we've seen that with former Detective Joe Crystal and other police officers who tried to point out corruption and they suffered harassment as well. It's going to be difficult, but I think the police department should continue doing some truth telling of its own as it relates to what's wrong inside the agency. And the more honest they are and the more forthcoming they are, I think it will invite a greater sense of respect from the community. But to continue to point the finger at the community and say the community is all, you know, this is what's wrong, it's not going to invite partnership that they desire.
That's Pastor Heber Brown, the third of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church here on WIPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Pastor Brown was a leader in the protests of police actions in the wake of the death of Freddie Gray. So with our limited time, what can you point to us about what you see will come from the community?
All right. So a few things. I think the community must remain focused on the legislative and policy reforms that we were working on prior to Freddie Gray. So we were in Annapolis earlier this year trying to get police transparency and accountability bills passed. Of the 17 or so bills that were introduced, not one substantive bill made it out of Annapolis. And then Freddie Gray is arrested and dies subsequently a week later. I think we got to remain focused on the systemic changes that are necessary. And so I'm thankful for our lawmakers convening working groups now to really take this thing seriously. But we got to stay focused on getting something passed to address the system, because it's not just individual police officers we're focused on. It's the culture and the system that needs attention. So that's one thing, too.
And what about the system? What is the most urgent change that you see needed in the system?
Yeah, our main focus in Annapolis early this year was amending the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights that allows for loopholes that creates doors for police officers to evade accountability and responsibility when there's allegations of misconduct. So the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights is one of the main things that we feel needs to be addressed right now legislatively. And then other things such as supporting the local community organizations and grassroots efforts that are going all over the city. They're happening from Operation Safe Streets, who's doing a wonderful job in West Baltimore. In fact, they have an event tomorrow afternoon, I believe, a cookout. You have other groups that are similarly situated who don't always make headlines or don't always have wonderful opportunities to speak with you on the radio, but they're doing awesome work, oftentimes late into the night in various communities.
Let me ask about something else. Another point that I discussed with then Deputy Commissioner Kevin Davis last month. Anthony Batts, when he arrived in Baltimore, he said he was surprised by the racial tension he found here that he had not felt in Oakland, California, where he had worked before. And so I asked Commissioner Davis about that.
I'm really used to operating in this multicultural dynamic. So I don't think I was necessarily surprised by the racial dynamic given my personal background, but there are challenges in communication, and those communication challenges, when they aren't defined, then they can be perceived and certainly they have been perceived as some disparages between the races.
In your view, Pastor Brown, how does race play into the dynamic between the community and the police?
Oh, my goodness. It's a very important pillar in understanding the context of the issue. I think in the earlier clip you played, the interim commissioner spoke about some of the historical things that were going on long before Freddie Gray. Earlier this year, I spoke at a forum. I told people about Thomas Brodus. In the 1940s, here in Baltimore, he was killed by Baltimore police officers. it invited a march and rally to Annapolis of some 2,000 people, black folks who got together and marched on Annapolis in the 40s over the issue of police brutality. And here we are in 2015 still talking about it. And so race is very important, and understanding of racial constructs and dynamics in Baltimore is also important. Some of my friends, we describe Maryland sometimes as the Deep North. Sometimes we forget of Maryland's complicated history as it relates to slavery and race and systemic injustice. There are communities that are that were covenant, quote unquote, covenant communities here in city of Baltimore, where they had clauses where blacks or Jews could not live. And some of those communities still are here. And some of the evidence and remnants and residue of that still is around as well. So it's very deep and complicated. We got to be honest and face it and do the hard work of making the necessary adjustments.
And I want to keep in touch with you. You said you don't always get a chance to be on the radio with us. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Pastor Heber Brown III of Pleasant Hope Baptist Church. He was a leader in the protests of police actions in the wake of the death of Freddie Gray. We have more information on our website, WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead, a bit more of this conversation about how race plays out. Maryland at the crossroads between North and South. Stay with us on 88.1.